This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Free Talk Live.
Hey, it is Free Talk Live. You're invited here to join us on the radio waves. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. Also, we have Discord, and there are on-air call-in line rooms you can join. You'll sound almost like you're sitting here in the studio with us if you do that. Go to discord.lrn.fm. Coming up tonight, how much would you pay for a really good coffee cup? Apparently, the Air Force is willing to pay $1,300. And we'll tell you about that coming up here in moments. With you tonight, it's Ian,
Michael,
and Melanie.
Melanie, welcome back.
Hey.
Is your car working now?
Yeah.
All right, that's good to know.
It's fixed and it has its papers, please.
Cool. All right, so you're back. So we have stuff to talk about, as always. And one of the stories that has been just kind of hanging out there and we haven't done anything with yet is Canada. Last week, we did talk in advance about the fact that Canada finally has gone through legalization, or was going to go. We talked about, I think, the day before, that they were going to legalize cannabis nationwide. Now, of course, each province has its own separate rule systems, and we're going to get into some of the differences there. But we didn't talk at all about what happened on legalization day and what has happened since that time. If you want to weigh in here, maybe you're up in Canada, or maybe you made a special trip up there just to experience what it was like, you can dial in here. Toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. Here's the story from canoe.com, and there's a variety of these out there. Cannabis was flying off the shelves in brick-and-mortar outlets and online stores across the country as Canadians look to make their first-ever legal purchase of recreational pot and participate in the historic cultural moment. Less than 24 hours after Canada became one of the few countries around the world to legalize cannabis for adult use, some private retailers were either sold out or of supply, and were tending to long lineups and expected to run out by the end of the day. And indeed they did. This is a story written directly afterwards, and then there's a Forbes piece here about, you know, basically not quite a week later that, yeah, Canada's pretty much sold out of weed. Newfoundland and Labrador cannabis retailer Thomas Clark said he sold out of his cannabis supply in the late afternoon on October 17th, and he doesn't anticipate receiving more product until next week. Now, what was interesting about this is that there are some places in Canada that are allowing for private stores to be operated, whereas other provinces in Canada are exclusively government-run stores. Now, all of it is under a very tightly regulated governmental system, which is terrible, and that's why you're dealing with these shortages. At least in my opinion, that's why, right? Because when you're talking about a marketplace, okay, sure, if it's a brand-new market, you may underestimate the demand, right? But who's more likely to underestimate demand? The government, which has absolutely no market signals whatsoever generally that they are even used to responding to, or people in private business who can, if they were free to do so, would be able to increase their production, would be able to hire new producers, would be able to create their own producer just, you know, on a whim. Now, obviously, plants take time to grow, so there's that, but the problem here is that the government has a limited number of providers.
Well, and to be fair, the novelty of this is going to wear off. Not that nobody in Canada is ever going to smoke weed again. It might not make sense, even if Canada was just like, okay, starting now, no more regs on weed whatsoever. You're going to have a bump in demand, and it doesn't necessarily make sense to invest in that infrastructure for that small time period.
I'm sure there's
going to be a pretty high steady demand, but yeah. I'm also convinced that on legalization day, there's people who just would never otherwise think to go smoke weed. Who are like,
really? What percentage?
Not really?
Yeah. What percentage of people who have never smoked weed or haven't smoked weed in you know years and years and years are just going to all of a sudden go back out or go out for the first time and try it? Just because they can. of all times on day number one, when you know you're going to be waiting in lines, right? Like anybody knows, if you go to a cannabis shop on day number one, get ready to wait.
Yeah, so that doesn't mean people are smart. So that's nope. kind of universally true of any kind of heavily hyped product. I mean, people do this for Star Wars movies.
An
even
iPhone.
Though if you go next week, you're just going to be in a theater with three other people. So,
sure,
yeah,
okay.
people do this.
There's going to be a bump. I'll give you that. I don't know how significant it'll be as far as how high the bump will be compared to what the normal level of purchasing is. It's too probably soon to really know what that is. And we can't know what that is because the government has failed at supplying the demand in the marketplace. So if there's a bump, it's going to be exacerbated by the fact that a bunch of people showed up to buy some weed and it wasn't there. And so then they're like, oh, well, I guess I'll just call my regular dealer.
Well, right, so I'm not saying that, and there's no such thing as a shortage, but I'm not saying that that's what all of the shortage is, but that is a factor.
I'll give you that. It is a factor. And again, it is, you don't really know what the real market demand for something's going to be until it's actually available in the market, because it would be hard to, it would be hard to gather statistics from a bunch of anonymous independent drug dealers, right? The marijuana dealers that are out there, they know what their sell rates are, but they don't have any coordination amongst one another, so there's no way to...
They don't need coordination amongst one another. That's what the price is for.
Well, no, that's true. But as far as figuring out what kind of volume is being moved, right? You have no idea because you don't know how many of the dealers there are in a given area, and so you can't poll them because you don't know who they are.
Okay.
Because, if you did know who they are, then they could contribute some sort of data to some kind of knowledge about what it is that the demand is. I mean, obviously it's coming from somewhere, but it's probably coming from different sources.
And who's going to voluntarily share data about their illegal business
Correct.
With the government?
Well, nobody. I mean, they're not even going to share it with each other.
It wouldn't even make sense to share that kind of data about your illicit legal business.
What kind of volume you have?
Yeah, not necessarily.
Well, I see what you're saying, but some businesses do it anyway. For whatever reason, maybe they're required to by government or what. Newfoundland and Labrador cannabis retailer says he doesn't expect more product until next week. He opened his store, which is called Thomas H. Clark's Distribution, at midnight in Portugal Cove, which was one of the questions we had on the day before was, will there be shops opening at midnight? Because at that time, I didn't recall if there were going to be private stores, but there are. And so I'm glad to hear that.
There are private stores in some provinces.
In some of them.
Some of them have not started licensing them yet.
Quote, most of my friends and people who are going to come today were going to come after work, and now I've got to let down thousands of people, which is really bad for business and for my nerves, said Clark. He said he sold out of a 100 pre-rolled joint packages 30 minutes after midnight. Canopy Growth Incorporated and Aurora Cannabis are the only two suppliers in the province with products available for the first day of sales, he added. Wednesday marked the opening of what's expected to be a mass market for legal sales in Canada, as much as $4 billion in the first year, according to a report from consultancy Deloitte. Still, Canadian investors were less enthusiastic than consumers, as many of the industry's biggest players saw their stock prices fall on Wednesday. Canadians eager to make their first legal purchase of recreational cannabis were met with long lines at retail stores, technical glitches online, and relatively limited product selection. Jimmy's Cannabis in Martinsville, Saskatoon, had a lineup of more than 100 people at one point and had processed more than 200 orders by mid-afternoon. He said, quote, we ran out of one strain, so we still have plenty, but it will go fast here, noting his supply might run out if demand continues at this pace. And again, this is the day after, so it's almost a guarantee that he's out. Most Canadians' first legal purchase of adult-use pot will likely be online, as there were relatively few retail stores ready on Wednesday. What's more, the stores are unevenly spread across Canada's vast geography. While Newfoundland and Labrador and New Brunswick had about 20 stores open in each, some of the most populated provinces, such as British Columbia, had just one location ready in Kamloops. Ontario won't have any physical stores until next year. So Shopify Incorporated, whose e-commerce software had been chosen by provinces such as Ontario and several private retailers, said cannabis websites in Canada were roughly processing 100 orders per minute. Can you imagine, the kind of infrastructure you'd need to handle those orders? That's staggering. According to their vice president, the websites powered by Shopify also processed hundreds of thousands of orders in less than half of a day, according to him. So toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE. More about the legalization situation in Canada. If you want to weigh in, you're welcome to join us here. And Forbes reporting yesterday that they have nearly run out of pot in less than a week. It is Free Talk Live.
Zencash has changed their name to Horizon to better represent their transition from a cryptocurrency to a pioneering platform that protects consumer data. They are working towards the day when anyone will be able to build privacy-based applications on the Horizon platform. The unique spelling of Horizon is a nod to their heritage and recognizes that they remain committed to the vision that their project was built upon. Their coin and ticker symbol remain ZEN. Learn more at horizon.global and join the Horizon community. HORIZEN.global.
The Liberty Dollar was so successful that the United States government had to take it down, and its founder, Bernard von Notthaus. Now Bernard's son Extra has launched Liberty Dollar 2. LD2 is a cryptocurrency, but each token is backed by the same gorgeous fine silver rounds that Liberty Dollar has always been known for. Your silver is secured in an audited vault and can be redeemed at any time. There's only a few thousand LD2 Zero tokens left in the crowd sale at LD2coin.io. Get yours, LD2coin.io.
Do you operate a retail business and are looking for a solution for point-of-sale cryptocurrency acceptance? It's never been easier thanks to AnyPay.global. There's no paperwork or approval process to open an account. If you already have a tablet at your cash register, you're almost done. Just sign up at AnyPay.global. Drop your personal crypto wallet addresses in our setup page and then load our app. That's it. You're accepting cryptocurrency like Bitcoin and Dash at your store. Get started now at AnyPay.global. That's AnyPay.global.
The Bitcoin.com wallet is a simple and powerful full-featured wallet that allows you to send and receive Bitcoin, BTC, and Bitcoin Cash, BCH, with anyone, anywhere in the world. It supports both single and multi-signature wallets and is available in multiple languages. The Bitcoin.com wallet is available on Windows, Linux, Mac, Android, and iOS devices. Use the Bitcoin.com wallet to buy, send, store, and receive both Bitcoin, BTC, and Bitcoin Cash, BCH. Learn more at wallet.bitcoin.com. That's wallet.bitcoin.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill. I had high blood pressure, diabetes, poor vision. I wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract from within a few days. I started sleeping better. My blood pressure normalized. My diabetes normalized. My sleep improved.
Experience these benefits and more when your body heals itself with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
I'm David Hall, founder of Diamond Gusset, where we're proud of our 100% grown and sewn American-made jeans. Whether you're out for dinner, working on the farm, or on the road, Diamond Gusset Jeans offers a full spectrum of styles and sizes for any occasion. To find yours, visit gusset.com. That's G-U-S-S-E-T.com. Our loyal customers enable us to continue sponsoring Liberty Media outlets like the one you're listening to. In Liberty, David Hall, Diamond Gusset Jean Company.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Talk Live. You can dial toll-free. You can bring up whatever you want. Here, our number is 855-450-FREE. We're talking about the difficulties that Canadian cannabis dealers are, well, the legal ones, are facing in getting a consistent supply. They have sold out, and many of them were sold out before their business day even closed on day number one last week when Canada legalized cannabis across the entire country. We can continue that discussion and also want to make sure you know about cryptocurrency, because one of the things, like Bitcoin, one of the things that a challenge for a lot of these businesses, at least in the United States, is getting banking services. Banks don't want to deal with cannabis-related business. Even though the cannabis-related business may be legal in the state in which the bank is located, the bank is frightened to death of the federal government and their regulators and the banking regulators. And so they just, rather than deal with whatever risks might come with taking on those accounts, they just say no. And so a lot of these, you know, cannabis dealers need to look into alternatives as far as accepting payment is concerned, because it's highly risky to have a bunch of cash sitting around in a vault. To where we've heard stories about these, you know, cannabis dealers essentially having armed guards posted at the doors, making sure that, you know, nobody tries anything funny, considering there's like literally a, you know, bank vault somewhere in there with $300,000 in cash or even more. You know, there's a lot of money that's being, that's changing hands. Who knows what kind of money went, out in Canada, for instance, just on day number one alone of this cannabis legalization. So if you want to learn more about cryptocurrency like Bitcoin, then get over to Bitcoin.com and they can teach you the basics. They've got the Bitcoin.com Academy there where you can learn about what cryptocurrency is and what Bitcoin, you know, how it started everything. Go to Bitcoin.com to get started there. So we're going to your phone calls and thoughts. We'll start out here, and then we'll talk more about Canada, because, again, you can bring up anything you want. It's Tom in Hudson, New Hampshire. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Tom.
Yeah, it's about that migrant caravan from Honduras winding its way through Mexico at this hour. And you know what I was thinking?
Winding its way through Mexico. Last I heard, they were stopped at the border, and they were letting one person through at a time to apply for asylum. So I don't know if I would call that going through anything.
Winding its way through Guatemala, then. But let's say somebody...
I think they're at the border of Guatemala and Mexico as of the last time we talked about it, which was this weekend here on Free Talk Live. But anyway, go with your comments about it.
Let's say somebody opens up a charity that says, oh, you poor person, you got... you're stuck in this border town. The Border Patrol picked you up, the bat off of Border Patrol, and they deported you back to Mexico, and you don't have any money and you're flat broke, and it's a long way to your hometown here in Mexico, and you don't have any money. Here's some money for you, okay? Now, all of a sudden, everybody in that town would, I mean, large numbers of people would go across the border just to overwhelm the Border Patrol and get picked up and get a piece of paper saying that they're being deported, so they can present that piece of paper and get some money, because it's, you know...
From the charity that you would like to create or you'd like to see exist, or what?
Yeah, there's something like that. And then if they pick the town that this caravan is going to be going through, they could overwhelm the Border Patrol with people that don't even attempt to avoid being detected. They would overwhelm the Border Patrol, and the migrants would be able to get through.
So wait, what you're saying is, well, let me see if I'm following you. You're saying somebody should create a charity that will reward somebody financially if they are arrested and deported from a given country, whether it be the United States or Mexico, in this case where they're trying to enter Mexico, if they are caught, and then you're saying the financial incentive would incentivize these people to overrun the Border Patrol agents who are currently blocking them with things like rubber bullets and tear gas. You're saying that that would incentivize them to not be concerned about being tear gassed or rubber bulleted.
There's a lot of places in the world that are worse than rubber bullets and tear gas.
Sure, but we're talking about Mexico right now, and that's what they're employing.
Oh, we're
that's
talking
not
about South America because they're going up into Mexico.
So what's happening is they are currently, at least according to reports this weekend, there's several thousand people that are at the border, the southern border of Mexico. They're currently in Guatemala, so they're trying to get into Mexico. The border agents have been using rubber bullets and tear gas to dissuade the crowds from overrunning whatever checkpoint it is that they have. What you're saying, Tom, is that a financial incentive to be caught, or if someone is caught, would help them get over whatever concerns they have about getting shot by a rubber bullet.
No, this would be on the U.S.-Mexico border, where it's not quite as brutal. And also, what I'm getting at is that the legal excuse for paying people to go across and get picked up is this excuse that when they get deported, now they're stuck in this border town and they have no money. So here's some mm-hmm. resettlement money, but we don't ask where in Mexico they live. And if they live right there in that town, then they still get, I don't know, $50. I mean, that's good money to make in a night. They get picked up by the Border Patrol and sent back. But there would be so many of these people getting picked up by the Border Patrol and getting sent back that they would overwhelm the U.S. Border Patrol.
Okay, so you weren't talking about so you just brought up the migrants in Guatemala just for the heck of it. That actually has nothing to do with what you're talking about. You're just talking about some general concept of
using the excuse that these people are broke and they're victims of deportation and they don't have any money, and now how are they supposed to get back home and how are they supposed to get some food and everything? And so this would be the excuse to give them money to pay them to go across. And then the local residents, of course, would also be able to go across and get picked up and get paid for it. So you're using one excuse as
But if it's not coordinated, so you're just talking about a general program to reward people on their own. You're not talking about them getting together en masse like they are in Guatemala right now with several thousand people in a large group. You're talking about overwhelming them just sort of by incentivizing certain behavior over a long time period?
Yeah, something like that.
I see.
That would overwhelm the Border Patrol, and then the ones who want to get through would get through. If somebody had that kind of money, that would be kind of fun to watch all these people. And the legal excuse for paying people to go across and illegally and get picked up and get busted is the fact that when they get deported, now they're broken. They're in this border town, and they don't.
Yeah, I think that's. I mean, it's an interesting idea. I'm not saying don't do it. Go ahead. You know, it's something you could do. You could form a charity like that, and I guess you could require the people who get picked up to show copies of their Border Patrol paperwork to prove that they were actually picked up, because you're going to be dealing with some likely fraud attempts, I would think, in some of those cases. But either way, Tom, thank you for the call tonight. I've always thought it was a good idea to incentivize activism financially. It's just, unfortunately, most of the people in the libertarian movement don't have a bunch of money, and so therefore it's hard to raise money for any kind of idea of incentivizing
activism. I'm not sure how it's going to help anybody to have a charity that pays people for getting deported. I don't get
it was a pretty roundabout explanation, but I kind of understood what he was saying. The idea would be that if you were afraid of getting deported, well, now no big deal, you'd get a check if you got deported. Is the idea, right? So if that was no longer a financial concern, that might make it more likely that someone would give it a try.
Yeah, I can think of better uses of resources.
Indeed, and I suspect that one's probably not going to pan out, but you can call in here about whatever you want. And maybe somebody out there thought it was a great idea and they're going to start up that charity. We'll wait and hear about that. It's Free Talk Live.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact, and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
USA Radio News.
Thousands of migrants from various countries in Central America are moving closer and closer to the United States. even though President Trump has said he'd dispatch the military should they reach the U.S. border. Former White House Chief of Staff John Sununu joined Fox News to talk about some of the immigration laws that need to be changed.
This is the result of a mishmash of immigration laws. The Democrats have seen the mishmash of the laws as an advantage to them.
Turkey's president vowed to go into detail in a major speech Tuesday on the findings of his country's investigation into the death of Saudi writer Jamil Khashoggi amid mounting international skepticism over the Saudi government's latest claim that the dissident journalist died in a chaotic fistfight. White House senior advisor Jared Kushner joined CNN and has some advice for the Saudis.
To be fully transparent, the world is watching. This is a very, very serious accusation.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. You can dial in toll-free here. You can bring up whatever you want. Our number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We've also got the Discord on-air call-in line rooms. Go to discord.lrn.fm. You can jump in there, and we'll get you on the radio. Apparently, major correction. Looks like Tom in New Hampshire was right. Michael, you went online and found that the stories that we were reading earlier this week, and it was both Saturday and Sunday. We talked about it a little bit, but I don't think we got news updates on Sunday about it. So apparently the migrant band, the folks who are coming from Honduras, they've just decided to walk by the Mexican authorities.
They jumped off a bridge. They came over in rafts. I just pulled up a CNN article from literally 30 minutes ago. So
yeah, we've got more on that coming up here. Also, make sure you know about Zen Horizon.global, Horizen. It is the rebranding of what was called Zencash. It's now Horizon. It's a whole privacy platform. They're looking at doing a whole lot more than just cryptocurrency. You can learn more on their website. But the best way to learn about crypto is to get some of it, get some experience with it. And we're giving away 1.75 Zen this week. Wednesday will be the day. If you get your entries in before Wednesday at noon Eastern, you'll have a chance of winning 1.75 Zen. So email Daryl at freetalklive.com, D-A-R-R-Y-L at freetalklive.com. And you might be the randomly selected winner of that. And if you don't win this giveaway, then you might win the grand prize of two Zen. which will be given away in early November. So, again, email Daryl at freetalklive.com and send him your transparent Zen address. I'm sorry, that's the thing you have to include in the email, is your Zen address. You do need to take the time to set up a Zen wallet and then send that address to Daryl at freetalklive.com. You can get the official wallet over at horizon.global, horizen.global. I guess we should come back to the Canada story, because this is an important correction here. Tom in New Hampshire had called in and sounded like the thousands of migrants who are, some of them, many of them, attempting to get to the United States have actually now successfully crossed into Mexico.
And I'm not going to read this entire article because it's extremely lengthy and way too much of it is about Trump and his tweets. But
which article are you looking at?
I'm looking at a CNN article, Trump's Making the Migrant Caravan a Political Issue.
Yes.
Here are the facts.
Yeah, yeah. We definitely talked about Trump's tweets over the weekend. He is trying to make it sound like these are a scary group of people. You know, like their families, right? There are people with children, infants, who are trying to come here and make a better life for themselves. Here's a story from the New York Times in open defiance of the Mexican and American governments, which is a phrase I like to hear. Thousands of Central American undocumented migrants, most of a caravan that's been heading toward the United States for more than a week, have resumed their journey on Sunday in southern Mexico. The Mexican government, which has been under pressure by Trump to stop the caravan, had ordered the migrants to submit to processing by the immigration authorities at a legal border crossing, but thousands just chose to move on. Part of a group of people that have been stopped at the Mexican border this week after having traveled for several days, most from their homes in Honduras. Most of the migrants on the move on Sunday, by one local government, estimated at more than 7,000 people. So estimates have been around 4,000 previously, mm-hmm. So that's a large...
Even earlier today they were.
What, at 4,000?
At 4,000, 5,000.
Okay.
I was just reading some Google News headlines from earlier today, and now CNN's come out 30 minutes ago. There's some 7,500 people marching north.
Wow.
And... They are in Mexico now. CNN crews witnessed migrants jumping off a bridge at the Mexico-Guatemala border and riding rafts to reach Mexican soil.
Right, and later in this story it says basically the Mexican border guards essentially stood down. They gathered in the central square in the Mexican border city of Ciudad Hidalgo on Saturday and voted by a show of hands to continue their journey north despite their undocumented status. Maria Irias Rodriguez, who is 17 years old and a migrant from Tegucigalpa, Honduras, was traveling with her 8-month-old daughter and 2-year-old son and husband. She says, if they stop us now, we'll just come back a second time. And the headline here, or the... I guess like the video byline or headline is, anything is better than returning, is what one migrant was quoted as saying.
When the place you're coming from is so bad that you would rather die than go back there, then...
That's motivation.
That's motivation.
That's inspiration to do this. And of course, numbers are powerful, right? Groups of people... doing something like this, this is incredible. And that's part of the reason why I would bet the Mexican government has essentially stood down. Do they have the facilities to hold 7,000 people? Do they have the, you know, the guards and the men to be able to stop a group of people like that?
Probably not on the border. They won't have anything.
Right. I mean, government, you know, ultimately relies on, I mean, at some level, we know government's not voluntary, right? Like, we know the
right.
Government is violence. The government is aggressive force. But at some level, they do rely on people's obedience. And as soon as people stop being obedient, as soon as people stop doing, you know, kind of what's the expected thing to do, which is, oh, a few people at a time go to the border. They get stopped by guards with guns. The guards with guns demand ID. The guards with guns demand obedience. You have to go fill out this paperwork. You have to do the things that we say. You have to pay the fees that we say you have to pay. So that's the way it normally works. They can expect a certain number of people to do that every single day, and that's just the normal order of things. But when people just decide to say, you know what, we're not going to wait around in this line, because what the story was on Saturday was that people were being stopped by these border guards. they were letting people through one at a time,
right,
to apply for asylum. And some people did apply for asylum.
Now, the stats here that CNN published is that Mexican authorities say more than 1,000 Central American migrants officially applied for refugee status over the past 3 days. That's out of 7,500 people. Where did what did the other 6,500 do?
So
they disobeyed.
Exactly. And that is what is so, I think, you know, exciting and interesting about this story, is watching what happens when people just say they've had enough and are willing to take a significant risk. You know, because the Mexican government could have escalated, right? They could have, instead of just firing some tear gas and some rubber bullets, which I'm not okay with that, but instead of doing that, they could have just brought down, you know, the Mexican military.
Their whole army, and just shot everybody.
They have. If you go down to Mexico, you've seen them. They're all over the place. There's federal police that are, you know, in the backs of trucks with machine guns. These guys are everywhere. So, I mean, it wouldn't be hard to call these guys down and just say, all right, let them have it. But thankfully they didn't do that because, well, that would be a horrific thing, right? I mean, we're talking about families. We just read a quote from a teenage mother, with her husband and kids. It's trying to come across the border. So you're talking about the government in front of everybody with a cell phone, right? And you better believe there's plenty of people with video now. Even in poor countries, people have cell phones. So you're talking about a mass slaughter of people who haven't done anything except for said, help me, I want to get out of this place. I want to get out of Honduras. Please let me come into this, this other place. And you're talking about just cutting them down with violence. The Mexican government made the right choice here, even if it was out of their own self-interest, right? Because that's what's going on. The Mexican government likely cannot handle these numbers. They don't want this PR nightmare on their hands. And if it's true that many of these people are going to try to cross on through to the United States, ultimately, if the Mexican government just lets them travel through their country and then they hit the border of the U.S. to have this happen all over again, well, then it's the U.S.'s problem.
That's right.
At that point. So why bother? You know, I can't blame them for not doing something here, and I'm glad to hear about it because they're now moving. Apparently, the latest update here from the New York Times is they spent Sunday night in Tapachula, which is the city just to the northwest of Ciudad Hidalgo. So they initially crossed between Guatemala and Ciudad Hidalgo at the sort of the, it's kind of like the southern end there of Mexico. And so now they're moving a little bit north of there into Tapachula. We'll tell you a little bit more about what's going on. And then if we get a chance, we can come back to Canada. So some really interesting news headlines happening in North America right now. Toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. It's Free Talk Live.
This November, I'm running the New York City Marathon as a member of Team Innocence Project because I'm a passionate supporter of their work. 2018 has been a banner year for the Innocence Project. Since January, 9 of their clients have walked free. Innocent people who combined to serve more than 200 years in prison for crimes they did not commit. And because of the Innocence Project, the risk of being wrongfully convicted has been greatly reduced for millions of people. October 2nd is International Wrongful Conviction Day. It's an opportunity to draw attention to the countless innocent men and women who remain behind bars and the need to reform our broken criminal justice system to prevent wrongful convictions. At any given time, the Innocence Project represents 200 clients who need their help to prove their innocence. This year, the Innocence Project helped pass a first-in-the-nation prosecutorial oversight law in New York and eyewitness identification reforms in New Hampshire and Louisiana. You can help the Innocence Project by going to run.freetalklive.com. That's run.freetalklive.com.
Times are changing. The circus of politics, healthcare's low standards and high prices, and let's not forget food quality. What to do? Arm yourself with Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com. In a world of chemical imbalance and poor air and water quality, it's time you make a move. Log on to GetTheTea.com and stock up on organic non-GMO supplements. Don't forget the tea. Cleansing your body never felt so good. And we have a brand new tea called Takedown Tea, which helps support healthy glucose. All natural body support so you can be at your best. Naturally. All you have to do is log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. We're not a fad that comes and goes. We are the real deal. Join us and armor up. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Changing America's health
one teabag at a time.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Hello, this is Dr. Bill Deagle, MD of NutraMedical.com, announcing the breakthrough Red Deer Velvet DR. It delivers the protected building blocks of all organs and tissues, allowing your own stem cells as architects and engineers to regenerate you. Not since fetal life, when aging does not occur, has such an amazing NutraMed been available to help heal you and regenerate you. Anti-aging requires that you correct mineral, activated nutraceutical, and jump the gene defects and poor diet you have to deliver the cellular tools for regeneration. You must remove old damaged cells and replace them with your young healthy cells to wind the biological clock to a younger you. Order your Red Deer Velvet DR now at NutraMedical.com 24/7 or 888-212-8871. That's NutriMedical, N-U-T-R-I, Medical, M-E-D-I-C-A-L.com. Or call our order line, 888-212-8871.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Talk Live, inviting you to join us on the radio here. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. And you can take control of the airwaves here, 855-450-3733. Mass civil disobedience proving once again to be successful at the southern Mexican border. We'll continue with the story here in moments. I do want to make sure you know about Liberty.menu. If you're an individual who rejects the initiation of force and agrees to abide by the ethics of the non-aggression principle, you qualify to use Liberty.menu. So head over to Liberty.menu and get started. You can see some of the entries that are already there. That's basically a worldwide map of libertarian businesses, events, and digital content. Go and see it for yourself and create your content. Create the thing that you do. Put up a map marker for your business or your event or your digital content and do it for free, because there's no cost to use Liberty.menu. Unless you want to buy some upgrades to your listings, you can do that there. Liberty.menu. Use code FTL if you want to get a special Free Talk Live listener badge. It's a great site. It works well. I use it. Liberty.menu. As we continue here, it's Ian Michael and Melanie in the studio. Melanie being uncharacteristically quiet during the last segment. Are you excited by this? Like these mass numbers of peaceful people doing civil disobedience? I just think this is
okay. So
news.
This is not at all civil disobedience. That is,
yes,
beyond.
It is.
No, it is not.
Why would you say it's not?
Because it's civil disobedience when you break a law for the purpose of protesting the law. And that is not what they're doing.
Well, you've got a point there. That kind of is the definition of civil disobedience.
Like, everybody who breaks the law is not committing civil disobedience.
Okay, I see what you're saying there. If you're breaking the law in a covert manner, then you're not doing civil disobedience. But I think that if you're doing it out in the open, whether it's your intention to be a political protest or not, you are ultimately doing, at the very least, non-cooperation.
So it can be,
right? It's non-cooperation.
Not necessarily.
Yes, it is. Because the government wants you to go through this bridge, right? You're on Guatemalan side, that arbitrary side of the line. Then there's the Mexican side. There's a bridge and a river. And the government would like you to cooperate and line up on the bridge. And there's photos of thousands of people
on this bridge. Yes.
So something can be useful without being civdis. A guy doing 120 on the interstate, mm-hmm. Everybody can see him. He's right there. There he is.
Yep.
That's not Sibdis if he's just like, I'm in a hurry. I need to get to work. Like, that is not.
But these people are doing this, at the very least, for the purpose of not obeying, right?
Like, no, I think they're doing it for the purpose of living in a place that is much better than the place that they're coming from.
But they're not willing to go through whatever the legal process is, whether it's because of the inconvenience of it or because they have some sort of principle, I don't think matters. Ultimately, the principle of civil disobedience still applies here, because when you do civil disobedience, and they are being civil, they're not, you know, hurting people. There were some people throwing rocks, but that's because the police were shooting at them. So there's that. But generally, they're being peaceful. They're trying to travel from one point to another for peaceful purposes, likely to get work and, you know, to settle their family down somewhere. So they're doing it for a peaceful purpose. They're going forward, and they're not obeying what the government tells them to do.
So I think that there's a motivation component to Civdis.
Fine. Then it's non-cooperation. It puts the government in a position where they have two choices. And one of the choices, which we just outlined, is escalate from tear gas and rubber bullets to actual bullets and start, you know, killing people. Or the other choice is the choice they did, which is to ignore the disobedience, ignore the non-cooperation, and look impotent. You know, they risk looking like, oh, there's no actual rule of law here. There's no system that's actually in place that must be followed. Now that they've stood down, it's proof that large numbers of people who are willing to, break these arbitrary diktats forced upon them, these laws, statutes, or whatever you want to call them, that they have a level of power that the government is quite afraid of, because they put them in that position of, does Mexican's government want to look like a horrible group of murderous tyrants? Well, we know that's what they are, because all governments are groups of murderous tyrants. But because you can see what they do now in a way that you couldn't easily do 100 years ago or 300 years ago or whenever, you know, governments were more likely to shoot large groups of
people. Well, I don't
know.
News about the Boston massacres sure got around. And that was, what, almost 300 years ago now?
Sure, that's true. But it's even faster today than it was then, and it's even more persuasive, I think, now, because you can see what's happening. You can see the violence. You can see if a government shoots a dog to death, that gets passed around. And stories like that certainly wouldn't have made it anywhere,
right?
You know, in previous decades. So, you know, you put them in that position. So whether you want to call it civil disobedience or not, it definitely was non-cooperation. There were the few people who did cooperate. You said 1,000, 2,000
people.
Yeah,
so it was 1,000 out of 7,500.
Right, did go through the asylum process, and now they have paperwork of asylum nature from Mexico. And maybe some of those folks are going to settle in Mexico. Maybe some of them are going to go all the way through to the U.S., but either way. I love seeing this.
Compared to where they came from, Mexico's not bad, so I couldn't blame any of them for staying.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they're going to face a greater difficulty from the Mexican government than they would the U.S. government, but I suspect the greater difficulty would come from the U.S. government.
Hmm.
I mean, they're better funded. They likely have better technology, would be my guess. I mean, I don't know for sure. I've never seen the offices of the Mexican immigration compared to, you know, what kind of tech they might have access to. But you just presume, since there's more money in the United States for them to tax,
right,
they're probably much better funded. So they talked to some folks at the border. One young lady said she'd waited at the border until mid-Saturday but became desperate at how long it was taking to be processed. So, again, many people were willing to jump through the governmental hoops, but when the hoops became so arduous, because they'd have to wait, right? You're waiting around.
You're waiting on a bridge for 3 days straight.
Right.
Then, yeah. No food, no
restaurants.
Somebody's
got to go to the bathroom somewhere, right?
No place to even cook.
Right. There's no porta potties there either,
right?
So, you know, people are going to be squatting off the side of the bridge, and, you know, it's going to be a bit of an ugly circumstance. Where are you going to lay your head at night to go to sleep? Are you going to get any sleep? You're surrounded by people. I mean, these people were packed in shoulder to shoulder on this bridge, at least in the photographs that I had seen.
That's true.
And then, of course, they talk about Trump on Twitter, talking about how the U.S. will turn them away, saying the migrants seeking asylum must first apply in Mexico. Well, why is that exactly? Why do you have to? I don't know anything about the asylum process. Do you have to apply for it in every country that you pass through?
I don't have all the details offhand, but I do know there's an agreement between quite a few countries that if a migrant comes in, they have to apply for asylum at the first country they reach.
Interesting. Mexican officials have said migrants seeking asylum are under no legal obligation to apply in Mexico, but under a proposed bilateral agreement that the Trump administration has discussed with Mexican officials, so it's just proposed, U.S. border officials would be able to legally turn back asylum seekers who first passed through Mexico, forcing them to seek protection south of the border. But again, that's just a proposal. And
okay, so they haven't actually done that yet.
Right. So what's the, you know, motivation for Mexico to agree to that? Why would they want to agree to that? Why would they want to be the glorified initial processing department for the U.S. government?
I don't think they would.
I mean, I've stood in these...
Well, what are they training that from? I don't know a whole lot about Mexican immigration law or what pressures Mexico is under from either the U.S. or the EU.
Oh, they're under pressure.
Whatever, but... Like, what is that a change from? Kind of, it's like, you know, showing me the new version of the statute and saying, is this better? Well, I don't know if I haven't read the original.
Well, you
know,
the thing about that is, even if Mexico did agree to this and process all these people for asylum, anyone they refused asylum to, they could just give them a free ride up to Texas and drop them off at the border there, and then it's the U.S.'s problem.
Well, I don't think that Mexico necessarily wants to fund that or deal with them while they're on the way through.
So, according to a story here in southern Mexico, Sunday, officials encouraged the migrants to apply for asylum or otherwise seek legal immigration status in Mexico, but they made barely any effort to halt the migrants as they walked along a main highway. Federal police officers were at times present on the road, so they were there monitoring the procession, and a police helicopter circled overhead, but the authorities allowed the procession to carry on unimpeded. At one point, a senior migration official standing in the back of a police pickup truck, like I described, they got these things everywhere, urged the migrants to register themselves with the authorities and seek legal immigration status, saying the migrants could not cross the country without documentation. But people said they feared being deported, and the group kept moving north. By evening, most of the migrants, extremely weary from the arduous walk, had reached the city of Tapachula, about a 20-mile journey by road from Ciudad Hidalgo. The group planned to continue their journey north on Monday. The toll-free number here, if you want to join us, is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Basically, federal police just standing back and watching this happen. Technically, if you want to be legal in Mexico, you need to get their permission slip. You've got to have the paperwork from the immigration goons, or they could stop you. And if you don't have that paperwork, they could remove you from the country and you could pay a fine.
That is true.
But that requires them to do things. That would require them to actually, like, try to process these people or try to intimidate these people or do something at all. And why should they? I mean, yeah, there could be money in it for them, but these people are probably dirt poor and can't even pay the fees.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. In an historic event, former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. To secure your spot, text JOIN to 44055. This event is the first of its kind ever. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls in the weeks and months ahead. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars. To join American Cannabis Summit, text JOIN to 44055. Attendance is free. Text JOIN to 44055.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.